The world is trending toward the tribulation. The birth pangs are shortening. Wars and rumors of war abound. How must the Christian prepare?
What exactly is DARPA? The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is a pioneering agency within the United States Department of Defense responsible for spearheading groundbreaking research and development projects.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, a ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to Monkey of Monkey Works US. He reads the scriptures and watches the flights in the sky and connects the data points. Why is it important to watch the covert flights above our heads? You need to hear this update. In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken continue the conversation with Monkey. You won't want to miss it. If you are listening on radio, you can find the extended version ad-free on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
Few alliances resonate with the weight of history and strategy like the Five Eyes Intelligence Coalition. As the world plunged into the chaos of World War II, the United Kingdom and the United States forged an unbreakable bond, not just as allies in arms, but as pioneers of intelligence sharing. They recognized that the threats they faced were not merely military, but deeply entrenched in the shadows of espionage and subterfuge. This nascent alliance laid the groundwork for what would evolve into a sophisticated web of security cooperation, ultimately bringing Canada, Australia, and New Zealand into the fold. One might wonder, why five? The unique amalgamation of these nations, each with distinct capabilities and historical legacies, creates a formidable alliance. Together, they epitomize a collective commitment to mutual defense against a spectrum of threats that range from the insidious grasp of terrorism to the ever-present menace of cyber warfare. The roots of their collaboration can be traced back to 1946's Yokosuka Agreement, a document that may seem dull on the surface, but within its clauses harbors the essence of shared security ideology. In this interconnected web, each nation upholds its own legal frameworks. It raises a thought: can security can truly exist without confronting the delicate balance between safety and privacy? Critics abound, raising alarms over accusations of mass surveillance that circulate through public discourse. The tension is palpable, a tug of war between national security and the rights of citizens.
This is Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. Well, there's no doubt that there is chaos and calamity going on in the world. There's wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the infiltration of so many things coming into our country, around the world, and we're going to discuss those today with our guest. His name is Monkey. You may not have heard of him before, but Josh and I certainly are aware of what he does with his ministry. He provides commentary and analysis on current events, especially related to the military, aviation, and geopolitics. He's a third-generation military veteran who spent more than 30 years in aerospace and defense industry, and he's worked across a range of areas from supply chain logistics, aircraft maintenance, lean manufacturing, and advanced weapons programs. He's a follower of Jesus Christ and a faithful watchman on the wall. We'd like to welcome today Monkey to our program. Monkey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a true pleasure just to be a part of this and just to get out there and spread the gospel and show people what is really going on in the world, because there's so many folks that don't pull it all together and connect the dots. And this is, I think, a great platform to do that.
I'm so thankful for your ministry. I'm so thankful for your work, because it helps the people who watch to understand that there are so many deeper things that are happening, even in the United States, that we should at least be aware of and start questioning. So what we want to do in the first half of this program, Monkey, is just work through what are some of the domestic threats, some of the things that are happening in the United States of America that people need to be aware of, and how you can see that from the flights, specifically military flights, that you track on a regular basis.
You mentioned Five Eyes at the very beginning, and I will tell you, when 9/11 happened, the Patriot Act came into play, and that accelerated the spying on Americans. And then it actually was renewed and increased in terms of the surveillance in just the last couple of years. So what I'm looking at over our heads on a daily basis are the intelligence balloons. I track almost 70 military intelligence balloons. They used to be called Google balloons, and that changed hands a couple of years ago. So now what I do is part of my flight tracker, I use a software called SkyGlass, and it allows me to do 3D tracking. And I literally have a watch list of about 8,000 aircraft that I track that are all tied to intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. And over our heads 24/7 are these balloons that are gathering information, signal intelligence, images. But it also goes a step further than that. And that is, how do they get around spying on U.S. citizens without it technically being spying? Well, that comes through Five Eyes. And they use other agencies to do the data collection on their behalf. In the United States, what happens is they may be looking for a bad guy, but what they're really doing is the data collection that you and I get caught up in. So it may be a group that they're watching, but that data that surrounds that group collects general U.S. citizens. Now, the dangerous part to all of that is the fact that you're not sending it to a desk with a couple analysts that are trying to pore over all the data. You have AI that is instantaneously pouring through the data. So as it gets collected, it's sending what they think may be something that needs to be flagged to a desk of someone that's going to make a real-time decision. But that will slowly change hands. And I think what we're watching is the beast system coming into play. I don't know that it's that far off, because the technology and capability is there. AI gets smarter by the second. Just recently, when it started coming out in the last couple of years, the original framework, you would see kids in Gaza that have six fingers, and that was kind of your flag. But nowadays, you can't tell the difference between a real image and a fake image. That is how strong AI is. And Trump just signed an EO the other day that ties all of our agencies together through AI so that they can coordinate their information real time. It is the slippery slope. And of course, our government is spending hundreds of billions of dollars to build that infrastructure even further than it already is. So it's kind of scary when you think about what's going on over our heads. But at the same time, there are a lot of other things that are happening where we've been infiltrated.
People don't understand that they're being surveilled almost 24/7. If you have cameras, whatever devices are in your house, anyone can hook into that, especially our governments. You mentioned DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project. Give our listeners a little insight as to what exactly they're involved in, because they're a big part of this.
They're involved in a lot of things. Most of it we don't know about. There's a lot of things I can't talk about because I've been read onto programs and most of those are classified. But the things that I can give you an example would be things like hypersonic missiles, drones, AI, the internet. If you look at the mass surveillance that's happening, they are the ones that created Google, Facebook, 23andMe, which is your DNA, Ancestry.com, and a multitude of other sites that we use every day in our lives. And what it was is a tool for them to conduct mass surveillance on all of us, even to the point where your phones, when you hold it up and it does facial recognition, they create programs that make people give their photos, like Snapchat, for example. When people do their little selfies, they're feeding that system of facial recognition because they're taking a picture of themselves, and then they will post their name and everything tied to it, and then it gets validated. About 15 years ago, the government had about 85% of the population tied into facial recognition, and now it is probably everybody except for newborns coming out of the womb. It's very advanced, and it's going to get beyond that, but DARPA is behind every single bit of that.
And we're seeing the beast system being set up. If the church was raptured today, this system's already in place. Nothing else has to happen.
Right. We are very far advanced. The evil one has worked behind the scenes using technologies and governments to implement these things. And Monkey, that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to ISR and tracking and surveillance. But another aspect of domestic threats that I think no one that doesn't listen to you is aware of is the Club K missile threat. So we pulled a clip from one of your programs, and I want to get your comment on it.
Let's get into the Club K missile system, because many of you are probably asking, what are you talking about, these Club Ks? If you don't know what it is, I'll just give you a back of a napkin on what this thing really does. You'll notice here it's sitting on a rail car. That's once it's inside your country. The reality is this thing is going to roll up on your shoreline and into your ports on top of a cargo container ship. This is showing a cutaway, and you'll notice that the launch tubes are actually sitting straight up.
That is once it's deployed. It's not going to come into your shores or your country like that. It's going to be laying down flat like a normal contained cargo vessel, steel container. The missiles above my head, those are the various types of caliber cruise missiles that would go into this launch system. Now, they can be conventional, nuclear, biological, or chemical. The nuclear one's the one you really want to worry about. But if you're trying to take out infrastructure inside a country and cause chaos, you throw some conventional in there, mix it with a little bit of biological, chemical, and you're off to the races.
So, Monkey, you've been talking about Club K missile systems for a number of years. For those that are hearing this for the very first time, can you break it down for them?
It is a stealthy threat. The Russians developed this system a while ago. And the reason it's so stealthy is because it can enter into your ports and right into your country, almost like a Trojan horse, to the point where you don't know it's even there. And they can sit dormant for a long period of time. There's no way for anybody in our intelligence community, even with all of the assets overhead, for them to pick these up. They're inside a steel container. And unless they are transmitting, that's the only way, say, an R-135 aircraft that's doing signal intelligence is going to even pick it up. So these things can sit inside your company. And the reason they're such a big threat is because if you go back to the Obama era, he signed a 40-year port lease with Gulftainer, who the father of the son that owns Gulftainer was the nuclear scientist for Saddam Hussein. And they gave him a 40-year port lease in Cape Canaveral. It was called Project Pelican. So what happens when you have somebody else operating and running your ports, you have a porous system. Now, about 8% of the 12 million containers that come into our country every year are actually inspected. So that tells you if anybody wants to get something in and they control the ports, they can do so. So my thought is that this system is probably already here and we have no way to detect them and know where they are until it's too late. Now, the Trojan horse aspect is this. If they're internal to your country and they launch, by the time those launch tubes pop up and deplete the tubes, then you have an inert system. There's nothing you can do to take that out. Those systems can basically launch right itself, deploy all four tubes in a matter of minutes. Well, then your time to target is about the same because I'm sure you're not going to try to hit something on the West Coast if it's on the East Coast, i.e. the White House, the Pentagon, et cetera. That's the big threat. And then even if it's 10 miles off your coast, you're still sub 5 minutes before the thing launches and it hits the target. And there again, what do you do to respond to that? There's really nothing you can do without hitting yourself, especially if it's an internal threat. That's the big thing about the Club K missile system. The other piece too is we're talking Club K, which is Soviet era. It's a Russian system, but Iran has them. China has them. There's a lot of countries out there that have these that will absolutely use them. That's the scary part because it doesn't just narrow down to one country that has the ability to do something that stealthy.
And my big concern is, and I've been talking about this as I've been teaching around the country, is the bioweapons part of it. Because even if they take it out, that's dispersed. So they don't have to launch it very far. If they're off the coast of San Francisco or New York, they can launch one of these. And if it's a biohazard weapon, and what China's doing now in the biochemistry and biotechnology is unbelievable. This could spread rapidly and wipe out a large part of the population. So this is concerning. As you said, this is scary. How do we respond to that, especially as followers of Jesus Christ? We're not to be afraid. We're not to be anxious. But what should we do? People ask, how do you prepare for this?
At the end of the day, it's faith over fear. You just stay prayed up. All things are going to go according to God's will, right? That's Isaiah 55:11. Nothing you and I can do to change that. And I would just tell our listeners, just stay prayed up, stay strong in the word. And that's what we're here to do. We're not here to live in fear. As Jan always says, right? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. And the best way to prepare is to just know that God's got us and Jesus died on the cross for our sins. If you believe in him, you know where you're going and not to worry about it.
Well, we're going to transition here to some international stuff, and I want you to take a listen to this clip and I'll get your comment on it.
Here's everything you need to know about the latest on the conflict. In August, President Trump secretly authorized the U.S. military to use force against Latin American drug cartels, classified as foreign terrorist organizations. In a show of force to combat the cartels, which Trump blames for flooding American communities with fentanyl and other illicit drugs, the administration sent U.S. warships into Venezuelan waters. But Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro wasn't happy with the U.S. deployment, calling it an illegal regime change attempt. Two Venezuelan military aircraft even flew over a U.S. Navy ship, conducting counter-drug operations in the area, in what the Pentagon described as a highly provocative move.
But I would say, General, if they do that, you have a choice of doing anything you want, okay? If they fly in a dangerous position, I would say that you or your captains can make the decision as to what they want to do, all right? Sure.
Trump has been critical of Maduro's leadership and doesn't recognize the dictator as legitimate. This past summer, the administration placed a $50 million bounty on the leader's head to face outstanding drug charges in New York. According to one survey exclusively shared with the Post, most Venezuelans don't even consider Maduro legitimately elected after the dictator stole the country's past two elections.
You're listening to Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. Well, it's almost the new year, and I know many of you are looking for a new devotional book. We have one, a very good one, in our store at olivetreeviews.org. It's Until He Comes by Amir Sarfati and Barry Stagner. We would love for you to pick it up. Remember, if you buy it at olivetreeviews.org, you get free shipping in the U.S. and Canada.
Monkey, thanks for joining us today. You may not have heard of him before, but Josh and I certainly are aware of what he does with his ministry. He provides commentary and analysis on current events, especially related to the military, aviation, and geopolitics. He's a third-generation military veteran who spent more than 30 years in the aerospace and defense industry. He's a follower of Jesus Christ and a faithful watchman on the wall.
So, Monkey, you've been watching this escalate for months now. My question to you is this: what's happening in Venezuela, and is it deeper than illicit drugs and drug cartels?
Way deeper. This is layered beyond the cartels. And I will tell you, it goes into everything from drug trafficking, human trafficking. When you talk about Maduro, Maduro is directly linked to the cartels, and he's directly linked to the military, and the military is directly linked to the cartels. So when you talk about that island chain, Caracas, just north of the mainland of Venezuela, that is heavily diluted with human trafficking. So during Trump's first administration, I had someone that was on his staff actually contact me because of my flight tracking. And we talked specifically about Epstein. Epstein, you see the 3 minutes of tape that disappears and something happened in the jail cell. All the cameras were cut, et cetera, around the area. Well, this individual actually told me, he gave me longe lat to Epstein's location. I kind of tucked it away for a while. I knew exactly where it was. But then when all of a sudden we started to look at Venezuela again, I thought, this is kind of weird, back in August, how we just randomly start sending ships, Navy ships, down to the area. Well, if you go back, remember July 8th, Bibi Netanyahu shows up unannounced to Trump's White House. They have a discussion. July 9th, Pam Bondi comes out and says, there's nothing to see here from the Epstein files. What I believe happened more than likely is somebody told Trump, hey, we got eyes on your boy. It's the only thing that makes sense for the U.S. Navy to come down there. I think it's containment, because I think if he gets out, if somebody captures him and he's alive and well, think about what that does, one, to our national security agency aspect, right? That part would certainly be a big flag. But the other piece, too, is what happens if he starts talking? So that is a major, major deal. But that's just one simple layer. The other piece, too, is Russia and China are knee-deep in Central America and South America. They've got a ton of assets. They've got, in fact, China has a Silk Road project going on down there. They're in Cuba. And so you've got our two arch enemies at our doorstep. And if they continue to get a stronghold like Maduro, who is pro-Russia, pro-China, they could absolutely end up running that country and having a large military presence down there. And so we've got to act on that as well. And the other piece, when you start talking about it, not just cartels, but you start talking about terrorist organizations, Iran has big links in Venezuela. In fact, some of the aircraft that I've been tracking tied to a sanctioned airline in Iran called Mehan Air. They actually used to fly quite a bit down to Venezuela. And if you start looking at their connections with this particular airline, they are tied heavily to Hezbollah. So there has been, over the last 12 years, proof that Hezbollah is operating down in Mexico as well as Venezuela and the region. So there is just almost a trifecta going on in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, because you got our enemy at our doorstep, but you also have terrorists that are operating and funding their organization through the cartels through Mexico and Venezuela. So it's basically a hornet's nest.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, the whole Southern Hemisphere has basically turned to communism, Marxism, the socialism that's going on there. You mentioned it, not only Venezuela, you go to Colombia, you go to Cuba, Mexico. I mean, they're all being run. And like you said, they're all being infiltrated by our enemies. So if we don't do something, we're going to have them right at our doorstep. So do you see a hot war, or many people are saying we're on the brink of World War III? What's your take on what's happening?
I don't think Venezuela is a World War III issue. I think it's going to be a flash in the pan. It's a containment situation, and we're going to be jockeying into position to try to prevent it from getting to an escalated scenario. As long as Russia doesn't start loading up military assets in Venezuela and into Cuba, I think we're okay. But the minute they start to do that, for example, just a week or so ago, the United States turned around some of the ghost ships that were trying to bring oil into Venezuela, and they went and parked in Cuba. But after about three attempts of them trying to get to Venezuela, the United States let them through. And the only reason for that is because I think Russia probably said, I'm getting ready to put in some frigates and we're going to escort these ships down to Venezuela. And to keep from having a direct confrontation with Russia, that we basically let the oil through.
Yeah, that's fascinating, Monkey, to think through all of this. It is much deeper than illicit drugs and drug cartels and drug boats going back and forth. That is a big issue, obviously. But you've mentioned in that explanation the three key players of Ezekiel 38. We've got Russia, we've got Iran, and we've got Turkey working in cahoots with that. We know that they have, in essence, an agreement that they're working together openly and behind the scenes. So in the last couple of minutes that we have before we move into our extended version, can you pull that together for us? What does this look like with Ezekiel 38?
Back in 2017, there was a trilateral agreement between Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And they've been working in cahoots this whole time. Russia continuously feeds Iran what they need to survive. Iran is in a state of collapse, right? You look at the water issue that they have in Tehran. There's 12 million people there that are about to be on the outs, because if you don't have water, you're not going to live there. So that is a major upheaval. And it actually ties into Jeremiah 49, which I think dovetails into Ezekiel 38, just given the situation. So when we watch the 12-day war and all these other things start to come into play, that's a pre-stage for Ezekiel 38, I believe. I will tell you, when I look at the flights that I'm tracking on a daily basis, the amount of equipment and assets that are going into the Middle East right now is astronomical. So that tells me one of two things are happening. One, we're either building up for phase two of what's about to come into play, which I do believe that is tied to Elam, which is the southern side of Iran. It runs right up against the Persian Gulf. Or the United States is evacuating illegals out of Gaza that are being put into play, probably in UAE or Qatar, and we're putting them on flights and bringing them out of the country. Because you have to remember, there's almost a million Gazans that were displaced out of Israel. So if that is the case, then we're right back into 2.0 of what we did when it came to Afghanistan on a grander scale. So yeah, I do see the stages being set for a multitude of things, Ezekiel 38 being one of them, Jeremiah 49 being the other. And then I think Isaiah 17 may even be coming into the picture with what's going on with Syria and Israel right now.
That makes total sense. Well, folks, we're going to continue this conversation on our extended version on YouTube, Apple, one place you can check it out with Monkey. And before we let you go, Monkey, how can people get in touch with you?
Go over to Patreon. I've got Monkey Works is over on Patreon. That's our primary. And then our biggest audience is actually on YouTube, and that is also Monkey Works, and it's spelled W-E-R-X. And then I've got a website, monkeyworksus.com. I post all of my blogs. And if you want to know things like what the CIA has been up to the last 80 years, I can walk you through all kinds of blogs that tell you every little bit of what they've been up to. And so it's a pretty informative site. There's also some cool gear and garb over there as well.
Well, we're looking forward to continuing this conversation. And folks, make sure you check out his website. It is fascinating. Monkey, thanks for joining us, and God bless you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Make sure you visit our web store at olivetreeviews.org to purchase Amir Sarfati and Pastor Barry Stagner's new devotional, Until He Comes. Tune in to the extended version of this week's program on our website, ad-free at olivetreeviews.org or on our YouTube and Rumble channels. Threats abound domestically and internationally, but our God is omnipresent and in control. Fear not, but keep watch, because all things are falling into place.